Hi everyone. Welcome to the Lucid Dreaming for Contact week two. We're so excited to be on the call with everybody. I can just, as I'm sitting here, I can just feel you all coming on. I can feel us all joining. I can feel us all unifying. I imagine this is a bit how it would feel as the spacecraft comes down and, you know, appears out of the sky and slowly comes towards Earth and lands in front of us and the door is open. It's kind of like that. Everybody just coming together. Everyone making contact. I can
feel... The only difference is I would be peeing my pants.
I can feel, and this is really interesting, I can see all the actual humans coming on board right now. And listen to that word, coming on board. So we are getting on to our own little spacecraft as everyone comes together, and it is a container. It is a craft where we do join together in a new reality and come together. I can feel the extraterrestrials coming to join us, all the angels, all of the non-physical beings coming in. They're all very excited and giggling. They think this is really great that we're all coming together. It's just beautiful. So, Bridget, would you just take a second and just bring us in and put us together and just some words of grounding that you might be able to share?
Yes. So everyone just take in a deep breath through your nose and out through your mouth. And let this giddiness, these butterflies, settle for just a minute to remember this past week of terrestrial communion. And letting all of that grounded terrestrial energy rise up in through your feet, up through your legs, into your hips. Feeling it go through your whole body as you remember that you are grounded and you are part of planet Earth. And as you feel this energy come into you, take another deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And now beginning to fill everyone in the group, which you are already filling, and the excitement of our pod coming together again, this Gateway 1111, and with your attention now grounded, begin to turn your inward gaze with your eyes closed, in a calm and peaceful manner to the skies. Tuning in to either a blue sky or a night sky with stars. And as you feel Earth, begin to feel our other family arrive. Notice ships or just energies pouring into your heart from the hybrid kids, from all of the hybrid races, the Shalanaya, the Sasani, and with you on Earth as you begin to feel this, also feel the Nocturnes and the sixth hybrid race with you on the ground in the future. Feel their wonderful, wild, connective frequency. As we open to the next level of contact and the next level of connection. So taking in one more deep breath. In through your nose, out through your mouth. As we are ready to begin. And so my dad is going to open up the space for just 5 people to share. And this is just a group sharing. So, Kirk, if you would like to lead this.
Yeah, thank you, Bridget. The first thing I wanted to do is just acknowledge that the great work that Luna's been doing, that she facilitates this, puts this all together. And she's here on the call. She's going to be speaking to us later. And also, ITOM, we have him as a guest speaker, which is just a complete honor to have him. And that will be coming down the pipeline. Also, then Bridget, she's going to talk about her experience, her different experiences with hybrid kids. She interacts with him so much, and with Willa and her actual being teleported from Angel Valley experience. So she's got that going on. And then we're going to have open sharing at the end, like we did last time, where everyone can share. And then right now we're going to have sharing, like Bridget said, from about 5 people. And this is just to get anybody who feels like, so just look inside yourself right now, and if you've really had something come up that you feel that would be really helpful and beneficial for you and also the group to hear, and to, even if it's just your love, if it's just whatever it is that's come up during the week or in this moment right now and you feel like you got to share, we're going to unmute you. And so it's actually everybody is unmuted, and so you just go *6 and unmute yourself and say your thing, and then you can *6 yourself back to mute. And so I'm opening it up right now to whoever feels like that they'd like to share. So about 5 people taking about a minute or 2 each. So go ahead and take the floor, who needs to speak.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Can hear you, yes. Welcome.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Yeah, this is Matthew from Sedona. Matthew from New River. And since my group could come anytime and I have to leave the call, I thought I would go ahead and speak up. And I just want to say I'm looking forward to settling in the next few days here and catching up to you guys and listening to some of the calls on the portal and everything. And I'm very grateful and thankful for all of you. And I know it's going to be a fun experience. Lucid dreaming, I haven't done a lot of studying on, and I've studied astral travel, and I tried it one time, and I was told that there, if you felt a dark presence, throw a light grenade and have it go away, and that happened the first time I tried it by myself, so I didn't proceed with astral travel in like 2001, so I've just been studying things, and now I'm ready to open up more, so I'm looking forward to learning and sharing, and I've personally gone to a new level within the last month just by the horses and the love and the animals and the life here at the Tiki Ranch down in New River. And so I'm at a good space right now and ready to feel the love from those hybrid children of ours and just learn from them and share. So with that, I will end. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Matthew. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Luke. And
hi, Luke.
I suddenly got the urge to thank everyone in the group for their participation in the acceleration of the collective. And yeah, let's accelerate into infinity. That's what I wanted to say. I don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your sharing and everything that you do.
Thank you, Luke. That's beautiful. Love that.
This is Carol. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. I was doing the meditations that were in the module 1. And I've been doing them every day except for yesterday. And on Thursday, I was doing the Aluna one for the connection, grounding to the earth. And I was doing it during the day while I was at work during a break. And when I got to the end of the meditation where you're in the fire and then you jump up in the air and you're going through the air, it's right at the very end, I had what was undeniably an alien contact with, I guess it's a small hybrid child who actually started flying right with me in the air. And this was in, while I had my eyes closed and I was visualizing everything, they put their face right next to mine, just like a little kid would do, press their face right up next to mine, and there was just so much happiness and joy. Like, it was a surprise for both of us. Like, it was like, you're here! At first I was a little afraid, and then I was like, but the feeling I got from the child was so beautiful and loving that that went away pretty fast. And then I didn't want to stop, but I had to go back to work. I kind of extended my break a little until I could feel comfortably moving out. But it was a beautiful, beautiful experience, and I want to thank you for that wonderful meditation. And I also would like to know what the music is in that, because it's really cool.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
I'll post that later.
Thank you.
That's amazing, Carol. Thank you.
Hello, this is Jessie.
Hi, Jessie.
Hello.
Hi. I have to leave probably early on the call too today. Have to attend to my kids' entertainment. But I really, really wanted to say thank you to Bridget, to Aluna, and Kirk. Have so much love for you guys. And this past week has been very monumental to myself. And there's a lot of connection came back to me, and I had that amazing call with Bridget yesterday. She was such an angel holding space for me, and made such a huge decision yesterday, and really I'm ready for this new adventure. I think it was there for me for quite some time until yesterday that I have chosen to be on that path. So thank you all for holding the space, and I thank you, Bridget, for helping me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse, of course.
Who else?
Hi, this is Jonathan. Can you hear me?
Hi, Jonathan. Yes, welcome.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say hello to everyone. I really feel like I'm in my excitement being here. There's a huge energy just welling up in me at the moment. I just felt I wanted to just connect and say hello. So hello, everyone.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you.
I feel you.
Who else? Let's do another one.
Hello, this is Jim from Minneapolis.
Hi, Jim.
Get off speaker there. I just want to say hello to everybody, and once again, just flow my appreciation towards this whole group. This group dynamics is amazing in ways that I can't even understand right now, but we're definitely holding a really awesome space, and I believe in the mirror effect, I see so many wonderful and hear so many wonderful people on this group, and so I see myself in them. So I just want to share that with everybody. This is just a really awesome group, and I just want to say hi.
Thank you, Jim. I feel it. Thank you.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, my name is Kim, and I just wanted to share with the group that this whole week I haven't remembered one single dream, which is really weird for me. But at the same time, I've been noticing a huge difference in my waking hours. It's like things seem a little bit more dreamlike, and strange things are happening during the day. Things are opening up, like people who normally don't talk to me about contact or ETs, or because I lead a C5 group, and people who haven't been talking about it to me have all of a sudden just been asking me questions and sharing personal experiences, and it's just been a wild week, even though I haven't remembered any dreams.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one more. Then I'll share. I've so enjoyed, I echo some of you others that have said this, but this thing has been about the unity, the actual group coming together. I get on the call and it's like I can feel all of you right in the room with me. I feel you together with me. I did and this will be posted online, it may be already, but I did a meditation that we did last time in the last Lucid Dreaming workshop, and it'll be posted online. We recorded it, put some music behind it. And it's a meditation of going to visit the Esesani mothership. And it's a beautiful meditation where you go up in a bubble and actually enter into the mothership and get to go exploring in the mothership and then come back down. So I highly recommend that you all go on that one. It's really transformative, but I feel like that we're all together in this pod, and I can feel us in a bubble, and so this is really just an example of the truth of what that meditation really is about. So we're very fortunate right this minute to have Aluna going to talk to us about some techniques for lucid dreaming, and we're also going to have her talk about her experiences with hybrids. And so Aluna, could you share with us anything that has come up this week, or just go right into techniques, whatever you feel right now, let us have it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, God, this last night and this morning, I'll share, was incredibly wild. I implemented one of the techniques that I'll be sharing a video with you guys this week on, and one of our podmates, Brent, shared a really great breakdown of how he implements this technique. It's called WILD. So it was literally a wild experience for me this morning, and I definitely connected with some of you in lucid space and really was playing with the original intention that I brought into this play shop, which was to connect with you all and see how we can play with waking each other up from within the dream, and so like helping each other be lucid from within that state. So I'll share more on that later because it was a really crazy experience. But so this week the techniques that I was thinking to explore with you all is, like I said, the WILD technique, which is basically inducing a sleep paralysis state and staying conscious through it and allowing that state to bring you into the dream consciously. So we'll look at how, you know, to best create that experience. Another technique we can look at is also playing with sleep schedules, like waking up at different times and allowing our REM cycles to be fresh, refresh our intentions for lucidity. And then another one is something I've just, you know, default called an intention map. So essentially it's mapping out all of your intentions, and you can add to this list as you go, but mapping out all your intentions of what you'll actually want to experience once you become lucid. And it acts as a grounding rod, as like a feedback mechanism for you to really ground in those intentions and have more lucid experiences. And also sometimes, you know, once we get to that lucid space, it's like sometimes we'll forget what we wanted to actually experience. Sometimes I don't even think of making contact with the hybrid children. But with these intention maps, it helps to remind us what we are really wanting to cultivate there. So that will be all in the portal later tonight. And yeah, so I just wanted to share with you all my my story with how lucid dreaming for me became a way of making contact. And for me, really inspired this entire project to be a part of this. Essentially, so about 4 years ago, maybe five years ago.
This is your story with Pearl, Aluna, that you're going to share?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you have any, yeah.
No, I go for it. Just keep going. You're on a roll. I was just making sure I was on par with you here. Perfect.
So, yeah, about 5 years ago, I came to L.A. I wasn't living here. I came to L.A. to have a private session with Bashar, who we've talked about before. And he, throughout the course of the session, this private session with him one-on-one, I never actually asked him about having hybrid children, but I did share some, you know, sleep paralysis experiences that I'd had where I felt like I had been abducted. And basically I was really afraid of those experiences for so long. And I brought them up, and I think that that's what opened the door up for him. And he basically came right out and told me that I have hybrid children and introduced me to my daughter, Pearl. So all I had to take with me from there was her name, and I knew nothing else about her, and I didn't think to ask anything more because I didn't even really realize what was happening when he told me that or what it even meant. I didn't even know about the hybrid program at the time. So essentially for the next 3 years, I was kind of playing with, like, how do I make contact with this child? And it just seemed to elude me for so long. I even, you know, had pearls and connected with the mineral itself and still had yet to have a cohesive experience. But over that time, I actually had learned how to lucid dream and to astral travel. And then so I one night realized that, oh, I could probably make contact through my lucid dreams. And so that's what I did. it took me a while to not feel fear in that intention, even from within the lucid dream state as well. I would, you know, say, oh, I wanna meet Pearl now. But I would feel this fear come up, and it would be kind of like, well, what do I do? I don't even know how to act with a extraterrestrial child that's supposedly my daughter. And I mean, how do I be? Am I supposed to be like a mom? I didn't know what that's like. And it was just really kind of funny what would happen. So I wouldn't have the experience. But one night I decided, like, you know, forget all of that. I'm just going to go for it. And I'm feeling fear, but I'm just going to go for it anyway. And so, yeah, there she was, and she looks a lot like me when I was her age, and it was just really incredible to finally make contact and see how similar we look and how, and really feel her being so sovereign, you know, and being so real. And I just had this full-bodied experience of her, like, like I would with you standing right next to me, you know. We hugged and I felt every single piece of that and more because we're connected at such different levels. And so basically from there I had a series of lucid dreams with her in what I later really realized was the template level reality. Which we're going to talk about that in our last call, or no, I'm sorry, week four, so in 2 weeks from now. But basically what was really interesting about my contact with Pearl was that it was kind of like a training protocol for actual contact in the waking physical world. So what immediately happened was I saw her, where I came to her, I kind of materialized into her reality by saying her name aloud and holding that intention, and all of a sudden I was just there with her. And I walked in, we were in this house, and I walked into the kitchen and she was standing at the stove and she was sauteing tuna, the meat. And the hybrid kids don't eat meat, they don't eat animals at all. So it was really, really peculiar, and I just went up and I was like, and I do eat meat at the time. And so she just asked me, like, what is your relationship to this eating animals? And so that was the first thing she pretty much said to me. And it was really clear that she was bringing up these very particular points that have to do with my choices and my experience and my belief systems in life that seemed in some ways to be in the way of me really deeply connecting with her. But also she was just curious about it. And I think another hybrid mother we know, Sharon, she actually had a similar experience the first time she connected with her hybrid kids. The first thing they asked her was, why do you guys eat animals? And so all of that is said without judgment. I didn't.
They're kind of sneaky that way. They just ask a simple question. It's like, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't feel judged by it either. So that's why it just felt really pure. Like she was really just wondering like what my relationship is to that because she didn't understand it. And then, you know, I just told her that it just felt right for me, that I honored my belief systems at the time, and so then we moved on right into the next lesson. It was like a class in some senses that she was bringing me through, and the next one had to do with my partner, Itom, who you're going to hear from in a little bit, having to do with him actually having these very romantic connections on different levels with different civilizations, you know, basically any part of his consciousness beyond Earth, he has connections with these other beings. And I immediately felt jealous. So jealousy rose up in that. And then it just...
So you're jealous of Itom with his relationships with other extraterrestrials?
Yeah, and I didn't expect that to come up. And yeah, it was just like really... It was really funny and really confronting at the time, and he was literally standing there in the dream, and I went up to him and I said, like, who is she? Because there was another woman, an extraterrestrial with her. It was so funny. And I realized really, really quickly that, like, it's absurd to think that there's a one and only on every, I mean, we are eternal, we're infinite. So we're connected to everyone, and it's so just absurd to be. So it was kind of this possessiveness in me, and I even feel it sometimes with my own hybrid children. Like, oh, I don't know how to describe that, but like, oh no, it's my daughter. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
They really deliver the message of because that's what I learned too when I was with them when I met the group of them. They want to deliver the messages that. There isn't jealousy. There isn't a one and only. I mean, like you say, even as parents, it's like, these are my children. No, we're everybody's children. You know, this is my partner. No, we're everybody's partner. You know, I mean, they really have a great way of teaching by not even saying anything. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. So that was like lesson two in that experience for me. And all of this was lucid. I was very aware of what was happening. And then to the third little part of that dream with her was basically she had, up to that point, I had been relating to her as human because she looked very human. She looked like a human child. And she finally started to let up and let me feel her extraterrestrial energy. And I was just looking into her eyes, and they just started spinning, and I started spinning, and I could feel like that she was literally connected to the cosmos in a way that I have never, could never have fathomed. She contained all the information of infinity, essentially, in her, which is, so she's, her specialty is holographic realities, which is all about all information being contained in one little particle, essentially. So it was incredible, and I got to feel this intense extraterrestrial energy through her, and it actually brought up a little bit of fear in me because it was so foreign, and immediately she reflected that fear back to me by actually a boil sort of appeared on her face, and it really freaked me out, and I felt terrible, but it was all resolved because I understood what was happening. There's like such a reflective mechanism with these kids. They'll just unconditionally, you know, show us what we need to see. And then from there, it was like amazing because I started to connect with some other of the children and other parents that were also interacting with them at that level. And I got this experience of we're always there. We're always in that level of consciousness. And I woke up into almost that bigger being that I was, and I remembered that I never leave her side. Like, I never am not with her in these realities. And so it's almost like with lucidity, we're able to just break through the next layer of our consciousness and really become this bigger, more aware being. And so I got a full-bodied experience of that, which was really, really fun.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. I love all that sharing. I mean, it's so many insights in that. I've sat and talked with Aluna about this for much longer time, and it's wonderful to feel all of that. You get that so strongly and deeply. It's wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Right now, do you have anything less left to say? Because we're going to move on to ITOM and Bridget right now. Anything else, Aluna?
No, I'm complete. Thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, so now we get to hear ITOM's version. Of the, the galactic interludes of ITOM and Aluna. So here we go with ITOM, and Bridget's gonna bring this through with ITOM. So Bridget and ITOM, take it away.
Well, the thing I wanted to say in continuing off of what Aluna was just saying, a lot of what she's sharing is how the not only the hybrid children, but our other counterparts, but particularly the hybrid races, really have this kind of training program. You know, as she was describing, it was like these different levels of training, and that's very apparent. It's kind of like a video game, like in Waking Life, you go experience these things, and then you go into the video game and like learn the next levels, and then like apply it in Waking Life. And one of the ways, and I've seen ITOM do this so much, and especially through meditation and dreaming and, like, everything he does, he's just, like, incredibly galactified, probably the most galactified person I've ever met. So, ITOM, let's start with tell me about your lucid Mount Shasta experience and, like, how that whole thing came up as part of kind of this training program idea, and also like making these appointments and remembering the contact that has already occurred.
Mic check, am I coming through?
Oh yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, galactic greetings everyone, awesome dreamers. I'm very happy to be on the call with you, and just to be in this pod in general is a
amazing blessing to have these connections and these awakenings and these inspirations from everyone's different perspective to, you know, explore. So, okay, yeah, we can talk about the Mount Shasta experience. Where this stems from is the last time that we had the hybrid contact workshop going on is when I had this experience. And where that came from was generating a place where we could all meet in dream space, like you know, I'm going to go to sleep, and it's like I know who's in the pod in general, and say, where are we going to meet in a particular location. And I was also, at that time, having some of my first Mount Shasta experiences from doing some music events up north. So, and I'd always heard about, like, Panther Meadow being a magical spot. So now that I kind of had that physical experience and knew the layout a bit, and that was becoming one of the places where I was holding an intention to, you know, meet. So one particular night, and I also play with the Shark Contact Crystal, which was actually really awesome, and I also use the Dream Totem. So I'm just, you know, a little bit of teamwork with those, and then my own practice going into the dream. And this particular experience, which is one that I do my best to hold, is you know, I'm going to sleep, and I'm starting to drift off, and in this particular dream, you know, I could start to feel the separation between, you know, the physical realm and starting to, you know, pull apart into that astral world. And I start to have a vision, you know, a bit of the Shasta Panther Meadow area. And at some point, I could see as I'm imagining / watching this movie start to play out, all of a sudden I'm there with Aluna, and I'm kind of looking around at all the beautiful nature, you know, beautiful sunny daytime thing. And then I notice that there's this really amazing, like, energy, visual energy coming off the plants, coming off the trees. There's, like, a little geometry ethers, like, up in the sky. And then it clicks. It's like, oh, okay, like, I started to watch this movie as I started to fall asleep, and now that I've, you know, starting to see this energy coming off, I can tell that I'm actually in the dream, and I've managed to keep my consciousness going, you know, to remember exactly what's happening. And so I'm there, and Aluna's there, and then all of a sudden, it's like, while I understand that I'm lucid in this dream, then I start to think / call out with my consciousness, like, who are the pod members that I know, or who am I, you know, who can I tightly connect with, you know. And then I imagine that there's, like, you know, I start thinking of Bridget and Kirk, Patrick and Sharon, and they start to just, like, emerge out of, you know, the trees and the rocks of Panther Meadow. They just start to come out of the woods or the foresty areas of it. And then I start to notice that there's ships flying by of a variety, and I understand that there's this parallel, alternate, / potentially futuristic reality coexisting happening in that moment where, like, when ships fly by, it's just like planes fly by now, just casual. It's like there's already that integration, like there's the circle saucer, there's the variety of triangles going by, just real slow and nicely. And then we kind of gather in the center area, and I pull out one of the instruments that I play, which is the Hong drum, which is this metal spaceship drum-like device that plays these melodies. Very high in, I should say, ET contact or spirituality, toning, sound healing, etc. Anyway, I start to play the drum. Then I notice one smaller craft actually lands in Panther Meadow. And what starts to come out of the craft is a variety of these hybrids that our pod that I'm there with are tightly connected to. So anyway, yeah, I think, like, you know, one good golden nugget out of that is actually holding space as you're drifting off, as you're going to sleep. And what I try to do is I somewhat imagine where I want to go, who I want to be with, what experiences I want to have, and do my best to carry my consciousness into the dream so that I can achieve lucidity from it.
Do you feel like that was a remembrance of a contact experience or something else?
I do. I definitely feel that as the actual experience that happened and a memory. And there's many, I mean, just what, like when I use dreamcatcher.net to log my dreams, most of them anyway, as much as I can, and I go through, there's so many that are about just UFO sightings, like crafts, and triangles, spaceships, and a variety of these things. And when I read through them, I'm like, I mean, they absolutely feel just like memories and experiences that happened, you know, to have those experiences, even with hybrid civilizations and other, you know, extraterrestrial energies and things, that I believe that, you know, that's like, you're going to have the experience, you're going to bring back the memory that happened in that so that you can, so then when it really happens, it's dialed in just right.
And like you were saying, you're getting like comfortable where it's just like a plane, you know, like the spaceship's like a plane and you're like, oh,
right.
That's cool. Like you're getting that comfortable and that familiar with it, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's like I've had so many, UFO dreams, and who knows how many more I'll have until, you know, that whole actually plays out in this reality. But, I mean, even already I feel like it's just such a casual thing, you know, even though I'm sure it'll be a bit more intense and stunning when it actually is happening. But it's really cool to have those realities, those dream experiences, you know, and I feel that as we achieve lucidity, that then we'll really be able to dial it in. We're like, okay, I understand that I'm a dream. I'm interfacing with a hybrid or extraterrestrial or craft sighting, and these are now my lucid, conscious decisions of how to react to it. And then I feel
right.
that once those are dialed in nicely, that then they / the reality, the experience will then integrate into your own physical reality, because it'll be like, okay, they're ready. They know how to deal with it. They know how to take it, you know.
Yeah, moving from like an observer, you know, in a dream to lucidity where you're then reacting. Like that's kind of the next step, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel that. So that way, you know, if you see a craft, or once you start to have more real ET experiences, that, you know, they'll be dealt with appropriately and nicely.
Right, exactly.
Intelligently.
Right. You said that you use the Bashar contact crystal to connect in and make contact. This week we're connecting with the hybrid races, and I know that you have a particularly strong connection with Esasani and Bashar. Do you want to like share how you work with that contact crystal and also your connection like in with them and how you connect with that civilization?
Sure, I can talk about that a bit. So I do have the contact crystal, and yes, I got that, and on when I received it that day, it also comes with a DVD where Bashar gives you this guided meditation of like how to use it, or you know, what experiences that you can potentially have with it. Of course, it's all permission slip, but he lays down a great guideline and blueprint of how to work with it. And that night, I actually had a very lucid experience as I was drifting off, very similar to the Mount Shasta one, where it's like I can feel myself coming out of the body. Like I can still see my now dream hands and my dream feet and my dream body and the awareness that I have then just lifted off. Basically within, you know, a few moments, however long it was, that I noticed that I was lucid, all of a sudden I just, you know, went into what I don't remember, but I do recall having the experience of I am aware that I had just transitioned from like a sleeping physical body on Earth to this astral body who is now in the dream world. And as far as like the Esasani, Eshikani relationships, I mean, I've been into Bashar since about 2007, and I've always had a really good resonant connection. And then it seems through meditation, I would start to, you know, gain more of a familiarity, and also then I would start to have some dream experiences with Bashar, and I don't mean just Daryl, I mean like the real Bashar, like what does Bashar really look like, you know, and what kind of, you know, activities is it like. And it feels very familiar, and even in private sessions with the Shar, I seem to have a tight connection. They do use, they as in Eshitani, but specifically the Shar's family, they do use a symbolic glyph, which is this triangle with a spiral in the center, which I now have tattooed on my arm, so I see it quite frequently.
And that came through to you, right? That symbol.
Yeah. Correct. So when the symbol glyph was first represented, it was during one of my private sessions, which was on 8808. I wanted to do like an infinity day session with him, and that's when it came through, and you know, describing that it's like this is the what he calls the family crest. This is what we are known as, not only as just Eshitani or Esasani, but as in this is my particular lineage of you know what I'm known as. So that coming through was very special, and there was also one private session that for the first time ever, Bashar's father came through in the session. So I'm feeling like there is definitely I have a tighter connection than I may have thought, you know, initially into that particular family exactly, let alone just Esasani. But I do feel the Esasani incarnations as well. So, you know, just being terrestrial here and conscious here and, you know, exchanging, you know, vibrations between those two civilizations as one unified oversoul.
Awesome. Well, are there any last suggestions before I return the floor over to my dad for sharing that you'd have for this week to connect in with them, to connect in with, I guess, the familiarity like you have of just being so cool with contact and dream time and letting that merge? Do you have any suggestions?
Yes. For me, what really helps me bridge the story together. And when I mean a story, it's like there's a puzzle piece that goes inside of a big picture, which you realize is just a puzzle piece that goes inside of a big picture, is the dream journaling. For me, like just tripping through my dream catcher online and I read all these different dreams and who was in that dream and what spawned the actions of it. It's like dreams are easily lost, even within moments of having them. You could have the most incredible adventure, and within like 5 minutes of waking up, it could all like fizzle, let alone like remembering a dream or a sequence of dreams that happened years ago. But for me, when I do dream catcher, I continuously always check in through my dream logs about whether it's, you know, UFOs or particular synchronicities in my life. But in this case, let's say hybrids and contact, and I can go through like several years ago and read through these stories and say, well, this particular action is a common theme in my dreams. This particular person is a common theme in my hybrid experiences or whatever. And so I feel that keeping a fresh awareness of your dream experiences or your dream journal will really help piece together the synchronicities, and it will definitely increase lucidity, because if you're aware in this world that you have these similar experiences in dreams, pretty soon that's going to trigger something. It's going to trigger you in the dream world and say, hey, I keep, every time this happens or similar experiences happen when I have this dream, and then it may trigger you to say, okay, now I know that I'm dreaming or I'm lucid, and I'm going to go ahead and, you know, take action on whatever it is you do. But I would say, just in short, be aware of the dream story that's happening even over long periods of time, over years or months or weeks or whatever.
I love it. Thank you, Aitam. Thanks so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you, Aitam. That was beautiful. Well said.
And I know that Aitam's going to make some videos, I think, with Aluna this week. So there'll be more of that stream of energy coming in, which is epic. Thank you.
Also, Aitam, put on your Hung video, because that Hung is completely cosmic. So definitely put that one up on the group.
Yeah, the Hung chapter.
Yes. That was actually one thing I was going to add. So on the webpage, whenever Module 2 becomes active, I have actually put a whole Hung CD that I created, which is called Dragon Scale.
Oh, my gosh. I'm totally getting that one.
Yeah, for the moment, I have it as free, so it doesn't cost anything, just, you know, for the workshop moment. I think for the next week or two, I'll keep it free, so get it sooner than later. And, yes, there's it's broken up into three locations. I recorded some in Sedona, you know, outside by the rocks, you know, in nature. I recorded a few tracks in Mount Shasta from Panther Meadow specifically, and a few from where I live, which is in Hermosa Beach. So it has this cosmic, you know, the Hong drum, which it is what it is, but it's also, I'm actually, you know, it's all live from these physical vortexes and chakra points. So enjoy it, and thank you guys.
I'm so excited. That's awesome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sweet dreams, everyone.
Thank you. See you in there.
Indeed.
So, Dad, what would be some of the things that you would like to share about hybrid kids? I know that people can go on and watch your video about having met them physically, but specifically, like, Esasani and, like, how to, like, live in the lucid dream and maybe how you work with, like, the boats as spacecraft in your dreams. What would you like to share?
Well, I wanted to talk about, just briefly, I think everyone knows about this, but the thing that's been coming up as I've been listening, we have the five hybrid races that have been created from the hybrid program that has been going on with the grays and the humans for the last, I don't know, 100 years. I don't even know the length of time, but that thing, you know, as far as I understand, is supposed to be complete, at least where we're at right now. And, you know, we're getting ready for contact with the actual sixth set, which isn't part of the five hybrid races. There was a sixth group held out that were called the Freelancers, and this group was the hybrid kids that were literally designed to be placed with us and not become their own civilization. They are our civilization. They are our kids. And I think it's just really amazing that there are kids that are physically our children that are designed to be placed with us and live with us as humans to, you know, act as step-up transformers, so to speak, that will help us wake up. I mean, this is such a beautiful permission slip that we abducted ourselves, created kids, and then are going to place them with us to wake ourselves up, to go down this timeline, this fork in the road that we're going down right now. I'm so excited about that.
Yes. And when we were just talking to go on from that, we were just talking in the kitchen before the call, we kind of started to go on a rant, which is great, about how then in this contact transition, which is really part of the theme of what's coming up, is using dream time to remember the contact that has already occurred, and then becoming lucid to where we can then become better reactors and participants of then contact in these dream simulations or these dream memories, and how that really is a big thing of what we're doing. And so do you want to talk a little bit about, like, the appointments, you know, how we were saying that this is all designed?
Yeah. So here's the thing, and this is what was coming through as we were talking just before we got online here today, Bridget and I, that for me it's all integrating, all morphing together really into one concept. And what's morphing together is this idea of lucidity. So, you know, you could say, okay, so what is it to lucid dream? Lucid dream is that, so you're in your waking life and you go to sleep and you're having a dream, and then you become somewhat conscious inside your dream that you know, the you that you are in your waking life is behaving or acting a certain way inside of a dream, or adding consciousness to the actual dream state. So there's that connection. There's that integration. And that's what you normally, at least what I normally think of as lucid dreaming. So then, the thing that I'm becoming aware of, you know, and especially in the last group session that we did, the lucid dreaming with the hybrid kids last time, is I started to realize, well, and it became very apparent, and one of the major themes of that whole thing was that this waking life is a dream too. So it isn't just about becoming lucid while you're sleeping dreaming. It's becoming lucid while you're waking dreaming. So lucidity, you know, just the idea of lucidity, you can use it both ways. So you become lucid in the waking dream where you're supposedly in your, quote, real life, which it isn't a real life, it's a dream. And so we put up permission slip reminders all around the house. Gabe went around and put them on every mirror and every door. You are dreaming. You are dreaming. And they're all still up. And they've been the most, I mean, one of the most effective permission slips you can do. So I highly recommend put little signs around your house, you know, I am dreaming. You know, I am dreaming. Because it's been really effective. So then I want to take that a step further. So you have the lucidity in while you're sleep dreaming. Now you're becoming lucid while you're awake dreaming. And then this other aspect that's starting to come in that I'm starting to realize is just part of the same thing. It's this becoming aware of that. So it's this future versus the past concept, and it's the concept that all time is now. So Bashar says, you know, we're going to make contact, or the Shalanaya will know the readiness of you by how well you remember that you already have made contact, that you already have had these experiences. So as I was listening to Icon just now, you know, he's talking about all these spacecraft flying around and how it's just so common, and that is our future. And see, he's becoming aware of something that appears to us as a future, but it's just upline, as Willa would say. And so the thing that's really becoming apparent to me right now is that, you know, when we say remember that it's already happened, it seems like a future to us, but we already have made contact. And it's just a matter of becoming aware of the contact we already made. There is no future. And that's really what's becoming apparent in me.
So on that note, we're about to open sharing, but I'll just share for 1 second before we open to everyone else. On that note of how to then remember contact, and that's what, I mean, this whole, like, Playshot is about, is remembering a lot of these connections that we've already had. But I'll just give an example real quick about how I've done that in waking life that then translates to dream life, but it's just the merging of those two realities and how contact in waking life is becoming more dreamy, like some of you were sharing at the beginning of the call. So, for instance, when I was doing the dolphin swim, I had this lucid memory. It's like lucid and it was a memory, so it's like the same, it starts to become the same thing. Lucidity is like then that reality as a real experience. And I was walking with my hybrid daughter, Crystal, in Hawaii, and on some kind of a plantation. And I woke up just, you know, that was the first time I had been with her, like, in an experience on Earth, which was a different, interesting thing, because we can meet them in these other realms, but, like, to meet them then on Earth is, like, another level of kind of this simulation game or this remembrance game. And then 2 months later, I ended up moving to Maui for a few months, and we went and found the actual location on Maui that the kids are going to land. The receiving place for the hybrids, which are all predestined, all pre-assigned, the exact location, which then again shows that it's a designed appointment setup, which is pretty incredible. And so we found the one on Maui. My dad just intuitively drove right to it, and we had never been there. Well, we had been there. That's why he drove to it. And then at that moment,
oh, this isn't the way. This is the way. I've been here before.
Yeah. And at that exact moment, as I walked or was on the property, I realized that that was the exact property that I had walked with my hybrid daughter on a month or two previous in my lucid dream. And so that's just an example of how, you know that I'm a big advocate of actually going to the places where they are going to make contact, because that's an easy permission slip to access those memories, because you're there simultaneously, just in a different version, and so it's very accessible. And just like Aitong, he went to Shasta, he took in that energy, and he comes home and he remembers that contact happening there. And, you know, Sedona, I had that experience too, where I remembered the landing at Angel Valley, and I remembered the landing in Moab, like all simultaneously. And so it's just merging also these waking excitements. Doing these waking excitements will really blend into the dream time. So there's my synopsis of contact. So let's open up the floor now to everyone to share if they have any of those kinds of remembrances or any questions they have about that or any dreams they've had this week, anything that you guys would like to share. And we'll just do, again, like maybe like 2 minutes each. And if we could just ask for each person to just share once so that some of the people that may not have as excited of a voice still have a place to speak. So we'll open up that sharing now for everyone else.
So Aluna, do you want to unmute everybody or just want them to unmute themselves so that by pressing star 6?
Let's try star 6.
Okay, so if anybody would like to go ahead, just press star 6 and share something about that came up during this call or in the week or question, you go ahead and go now.
Hi, it's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, I keep hearing about permission slips, and I think I know what you mean, but can you explain it?
Yeah, a permission slip is just a way for you to be more you. So you create permission. So if anything, like if you holding a crystal makes you believe that you can then be, you know, more telepathic, then hold the crystal. It's your permission slip to do that. Eventually, you'll get to the point where you go, well, I just am telepathic, and I don't need to hold the crystal. But anything where, you know, if you think, well, I need to meditate or I need to do this or that to get there, that's designed for you, and it is completely valid to use it. In fact, you ought to use it to get to the point where then you can then just be that thing. It's just a way for you to get to be for you.
Thank you. Kind of like a tool or a bridge until you come into the fullness of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you like to listen to a song or a meditation or something so that you can really get into something, that's a permission slip. Eventually, you could just get into it. But, you know, drugs are a permission slip, a great one, you know, like, you know, mushrooms or whatever will get you into a place, and then procedures realize I can do that without that. So.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Who else?
Hello, it's Jesse again.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi. It was a very awakening when you guys just talking about when Aitong was talking about the remembrance of the contact that's already happened, but it comes in the dream space. I had the experience last year, I talked to Bridget yesterday as we were having the call, that I had a dream about a little boy who in a house really wanted to touch me, but I was somewhat very afraid of him, so I kept back up from him, and as he advanced on me, really, really kind of resistant, and then he stopped, and Bridget confirmed that was the reptilian boy. That I was giving another dream over the Christmas that I was pregnant with him. Trap told me that. And I was giving a choice in the dream of myself to wind the clock of 10 minutes to see if I would still allow it to happen. So it didn't happen in my dream as the kid being harvested, but yesterday in a call with Bridget, he was there behind the veil, and at that moment, I consciously choose them. I choose that reality to be here with me. So that just come up as just now that I know that reality is always there, that possibility is already there. My dream space simply is allowing me to remember all of this, and then they are so connected with me unconsciously, but now through the dream space, I'm bringing them into the consciousness awareness into this earth reality, I think, which is what we are all here for, to anchor them in. Bishar told me last August, by going through this dream pod with you guys, we are anchoring this reality of hybrids into the earth. So thank you guys for these points. It's very enlightening. Thank you for holding the space.
Oh, thank you. That's beautiful what you just shared right there. That you just nailed right on what we're doing, and I so appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and it's beautiful, Jesse, what you're saying, because it's such a big deal, and I know I've talked to a few others of you on the call, and you know who you are, about the choice. Like, when you choose, when you decide, you're like, yeah, this is my future, then it's like, boom, everything rearranges itself in your reality, and, like, the access points open to have these dreams, to have these memories, and to have the energy of all that that you've been holding back just, like, pour onto you. And so I applaud you, Jesse, and I applaud some of the others on the call that really have stepped into that level of contact and connection.
Yeah, I just want to add one more thing to my own experience. I have been in this kind of dream training ground for more than 12 months, and I know sometimes I will get very frustrated with not knowing what these dream experiences are for. And in the waking time, sometimes you feel you're out of space because you want to go back to dream so you can learn more and experience more. However, it all comes down to learn the art of allowing. When you really relax into everything that's going around through you and around you, that's when this magic happens. It doesn't happen when you really want it to happen. So I just want to share this little point of learning dream is also a process of learning how to surrender into the whole full existence, physical and non-physical.
Oh, that's a good point. Thank you for that one, too.
Thank you.
Awesome. Who else? Well, who would like to share?
Hi, this is Sabrina.
Hi, Sabrina.
I'm at an airport, so I'm not sure if it's too noisy or not for you.
No,
Sabrina!
Good.
How are you? I just want to say, I'm cutting in real quick. Sabrina is like one of the foremost people that was like out there about hybrids. I mean, she had videos before anyone, you know, sharing about them, and she's one of the first ones that inspired me to like put myself out there. So I just want to acknowledge you as like forefront light star.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you. Well, I wanted to share the best experience I had this week. I've been on a cruise this week, and one of the things on the cruise is you can sign up to be in this private spa area. So it's pretty secluded, not very many people in there. And I went into the whirlpool one day, and there were 6 deaf women. And when I was pregnant with my second child, my son, who's a living hybrid, I lost my hearing, started to lose my hearing. So I'm sitting in this whirlpool with these 6 deaf women. I mean, there's not even 6 women that sit in this whirlpool, but there's 6 deaf women, right? And so I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is my pod. I'm not with the dolphins. I'm with deaf women. This is my pod. I was like just so excited, right? And I could energetically feel them. I telepathically could connect with them in a different dimension. But in this reality, they were playing humans and pretending like they didn't know me. So I'm like, that's okay that they're not conscious of me because I know them and I'm the 7th woman and we're all in the same age bracket, and I just knew we're like sister goddesses, right? I just like knew it. I felt it. I was so excited. I had tears in my eyes. I'm like, I found my pod. I found my pod in Central America with these deaf women. So I got to listen to their language because I understand sign language, right? So I'm just silently listening, and no one's really seeing me. And then it's time, they all decide to get up and go, and they do this ritual where they all, like, they, I don't know if you've watched deaf people, but they communicate differently in order to get each other's attention. So they all get each other's attention, and they do this ritual where they all put their right foot together in a circle, and then someone takes a picture of it. And it was just, like, esoteric, tradition, and, like, right? So I'm just seeing everything as a multidimensional symbol and a meaning, even though it just looks like these six normal human women. So then they go to leave, and there's these stairs you have to go down to get out. And in my head, I was telepathically just saying, look at me. Somebody just look at me or smile at me or something. Just give me a sign that one of you remembers me, that just would one of you please just look. You know, I know you know me in this other dimension, but just could one person just remember me in this reality, right, in this physical reality, in this physical dream. But they all leave, and nobody acknowledges me. Well, then they get stuck. They don't know how to open the door. So I, like, instantly get so excited because I knew how to open the door, right? So I hop out of the whirlpool, and I get one of their attention, so they all turn to look at me, and then I sign to them in sign language, I can help you. So they part the ways on the stairs. I walk through the stairs, and I open the door for them. One by one, each one of these women, and I think they see my hearing aid, or they finally, like, see me, right? They, like, either look at me or they sign to me, and each one by one, gave me eye contact and recognition, like, I see you. And so I got to be a part of a pod with human people who aren't really human. That's so cool.
That is awesome. What a great one. Thank you for sharing that. Beautiful. Okay, who else? What else do we have out there?
Hi, everybody. This is Brent.
Hi, Brad.
Hello.
Brent.
Hey. Thank you.
So I wanted to share a couple of synchronicities that's been happening during this call. I've been mostly laying on my back looking at the sky with headphones on listening to you all speak. And when Aluna began talking about Pearl, I was sort of asking for signs throughout the course of this call, and an airplane flew overhead, and that I was like, oh, that's nice. And then I realized I'm laying right next to Pearl Street, and it's a street in Boulder, Colorado named Pearl Street. So I got a kind of a kick out of that. And then walking around some more, Kirk, when you mentioned sort of the waking life becoming dreamlike, sort of my consciousness sort of just shifted into more of a dreamlike state. And I said, okay, I'm open to more signs. And then began walking around. And as Bridget was talking about Crystal, a second later, my eyes went to literally a sign that said Crystal on the street here. And then to a sign that said Interact. And I'm just kind of geeking out with all of these signs and synchronicities that are happening right now.
I love it.
Those are so cool. That is so cool. Well, you know, and that's the whole point is that, like, the more, and this is what I'm realizing, the more that we just allow this thing to be a dream, it becomes dreamy. Literally, physical reality just starts coming up with stuff where you're going, really? This is so, it's like a miracle. It's like this, it's so dreamy, and just allowing it to be that, then it becomes flexible, malleable, and just dreamy. It's so cool. I love that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you. Who else?
Hi, this is Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hiya. I'd just like to share with you the lucid dream experiences I've had this week. I don't lucid dream easily, so it's quite a result having a lucid dream this week. A big part of the reason I joined the group is to overcome the fear I have surrounding contact, physical contact, and in the dream state. And I've seen seems to have had quite a breakthrough this week, so really pleased already. So I went lucid. I suddenly I couldn't switch off the light, turn on the lights in my house, so I realised I must have gone lucid. So I decided to try and initiate contact, and I decided to connect with a grey, and I posted this in Facebook, and someone asked, why would you connect with a grey? And I think it's because I sort of connect the image of a grey with the hybrids. So, but obviously there's some fear attached to that image as well. So anyway, the fear came up as soon as I thought that, and it jolted me awake. But then the same night, I went lucid again, and I thought, right, I'm not going to connect with the image of a grey. I'm just going to sort of visualise the hybrid kids and sort of visualise them as a really high vibrational positive energy. And the fear wasn't, it was slightly there, but much less, and I managed to stay with it. The fear didn't really take me over. And I didn't make contact, but what actually did appear was a Luna appeared to me, and I think it was somehow I connected to a Luna's higher self. It was like a big white light with a sort of semi-manifest version of a Luna, and she was sort of just like saying, welcome to the group, or introduction to the group, or something like that. And you were there as well, Kirk. But you didn't look exactly the same. You had much darker hair, but I just thought it was you. And I just feel I've overcome a lot of my fear in that. So I already feel I've made a big step towards what I'm trying to do with this group. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. That's amazing.
Yeah,
I love it.
I have to prepare another reality.
a lot of people have dreams of a Luna as a hybrid. It's like a very common thing. Oh, Luna. I mean, come on. Your eyes are like beautiful big gems already, and you're still kind of human.
Well, it was my intention to connect with everybody. Like, that's my main grounding rod. So,
It'll be funny to see when we really get really more woken up, all of the different versions of ourselves of how we appear in all these other realities. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. You're. Oh my gosh. Who else? Does somebody else have something to share?
Hello.
This is Alicia from Kentucky.
Hi, Alicia.
Can you hear me? Hi. I was just going to share, you're talking about Mount Shasta this morning, and that's actually the first place that I ever met my hybrid daughter. And I don't know when exactly you all did the hybrid dream contact. Are you there? The sun's making noises.
Yeah, we did. The last lucid dreaming workshop was when, Aluna, was it August?
August. Yeah, that's exactly when the dream happened. And I wasn't a part of that group or anything, and I had no knowledge of the hybrid program or anything like that. But it was a lucid dream, and I think I shared this with you before, Bridget. A private message. And it was like the first thing I remembered was like I was sitting in this tree, and it was like this really weird bendy tree that I'd never seen before, and I was kind of like looking out like at these mountains and these snow peak mountains that I've never seen before. And like my first thought was like, where am I? I thought maybe I was in Asia or something, but I had no idea, but I just kept getting this huge feeling of, like, oneness, and, like, I was looking out, and I was, like, everything that I see, I was telling myself, like, everything that I see, I am, or everything that I see, I'm a part of, or whatever, and it was just so amazing, such an amazing feeling, and I was, like, sitting in this tree, and I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to get up and see where I am and kind of walk around for a little while. And I got up and just walked down this path, and the dream kind of turned into, like, maybe like a place that maybe like I was going to feel comfortable with. So it kind of started looking like my childhood home, which is like in the mountains, and it's a place called Mud Creek. And like it was, you know, like in this valley or whatever, and like these people started walking toward me, a man and this little girl, and she just walked right up to me. And it just, since I didn't, you know, I didn't know, like, I'm meeting someone, I just knew this was my daughter. And I just picked her up like it was just, you know, like I would my son, and just like, oh, just held her on my hip and was just talking like, oh, well, how are you? How have you been? Just like it didn't, you know, like it didn't even faze me. It just felt so natural. But it just, like, that bond, it was just like, this was my daughter, and I was just staring at her. She had, like, Asian features and so beautiful, like, big brown eyes, and, like, her hair was kind of, like, shorter and black, and she's just so beautiful, and just, like, holding on to her, and I was just kind of like, okay, I'm going to take you home now, and, like, let's just go home. And it was just so amazing. But, and then, like, I just woke up, and I just didn't know, you know, if, like, if that was, it just felt so real and everything, but I didn't know anything about it until I got more into, like, Bashar, and then found, like, some of the videos that you guys done, and that Bridget and Kirk has done about meeting in Mount Shasta, and that everything, like, just clicked then. I was like, of course, that's where I was, and that's where I was meeting her, and it just, it was so amazing, and I just loved it, and I just love Mount Shasta, and, like, the whole, another synchronicity with me and Mount Shasta is, like, I wanted to learn more about it, so I, like, kind of Googled and seen that, like, Mount Shasta has an area around it called Mud Creek, I think I'm right. Does anyone know about that?
Or, like, I think I've heard of that, yeah.
I think a creek that it runs through or something like that, and, like, I seen it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I was so there, because that was, like, the area that I'm from is Mud Creek, and I was, like, kind of, like, I don't know if they brought me sort of, like, in an area that I thought maybe I would be comfortable with to, like, meet my daughter. You know, that happens sometimes in my lucid dreams when I'm meeting my other children. I'll be in an area that I kind of know, but it's kind of, like, I know that it's not real. Like, it's kind of, like, a hologram sort of effect or whatever, but it's just somewhere to, like, kind of keep me calm, I guess. But it was just so amazing, and I thank you so much for posting all those videos, because I would have never, you know, I never would have put two and two together that was, like, a real experience, and that's kind of what woke me up to the hybrid program and being a hybrid mother, and it's just so awesome. So thank you so much for everything you do. I say that all the time, Bridget, but thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's my joy and my job. And yeah, I love hearing all the people, everyone, like, putting all these pieces together. And as I was hearing you talk about Mount Shasta, I wanted to give a shout out to Glastonbury for all the people in Europe, because there's so many people from Europe calling in. You've got a great place that'll trigger these responses if you want to go take a little trip during this month or something. That just came up as I was listening. But thank you, Alicia. And awesome.
Thank you. So who's next?
Hello. It's Katrina.
Hello. Hi, Katrina.
Hello. Yep. I'm from Estonia. And I try to speak in English. I do my best because it's not my mother language, but I hope you understand.
We understand.
Okay, that's great. At first, I want to say that I'm so excited that I'm in this part, and I love you guys, and I love what you do, and for bringing that experience in my reality here. So I'm very thankful and excited also. And secondly, I wanted to ask about in being in lucid dreaming, and I had this lucid dreaming, the third lucid dreaming today, and that was like I was read letters. And I saw numbers also, but I knew that it was very lucid. But how can it be? I heard that you can't see numbers, or you can't see letters, or read something, or something like that. Is it right, or I'm getting something wrong?
No, not at all. Yeah, I've definitely been able to read things. They just kind of shift sometimes. So it can be a trigger, but yeah, you can definitely have, you can read numbers and words as well. Do you remember what it said?
Yeah, because I was a waitress in some kind of restaurant, and I was bringing a chess map, and there was a guy and girl who said, "Oh my God, what kind of check you bringing me? There is a the numbers are so high, you know." And there was only about like I was I wrote down like salmon a la tatar, and it was costing about 27 euros or something like that. And they were like, "Oh, okay, this is too high price for that." And there was, "Oh my God, this is, it has to be right, you know, because otherwise I wouldn't brought this check." But it was messy a little bit because I didn't recognize that I'm in lucid dreaming at that point. And after that, when I was coming back and bring some new check, there was on that check map was a fish bone, you know. I don't know. It's very crazy and funny. But at that moment, I was thinking, okay, this is can be real, you know. And at that moment came the idea that, okay, I have to do that reality check. And then I forgot what kind of reality check I had to do. And so it was very crazy. And I was thinking, okay, this is so real. Can it be the lucid? And then I woke up and I was like, ah, damn it. I couldn't see that. But it was interesting because I didn't realize. First time I... when I was having the lucid dream, I was a little bit in shock. And the second time I knew I was doing great stuff over there, but the third time I didn't understand. Am I in or out, or what is that? So I thought that I can't read the numbers or something like that. And that's why I didn't believe that I'm in lucid right now. It was funny. But yes, I wanted to, the third thing, I wanted to share my beginning of hybrid child and my journey on that. It began about 6 months ago when I was finding the community, hybrid child community page. And after that, the second thing was when I was listening to Pashar, and he was talking about the hybrid child, and he told that if someone wants to know if they have a hybrid child somewhere, then just before you go to sleep, say that, okay, maybe you can send me some kind of sign to my conscious mind, and then we can, like, be connected with this sign. So I was laying down and I was thinking, oh, okay, let's do some fun. Let's try, you know. And when I was saying those words in my mind, then came, I was thinking that it will be happening in my dream, but it happened right in a wake state when it's like, I couldn't explain. It's like a air force what was pushing on my towards my chest very hardly, and I was like, oh my God, what is that? I couldn't even breathe for a moment. So I was like, wow, this is real. Oh, really? So I was excited and a little bit in good way in shock also. So that at that point I understand that this is a real thing. And the third time, it was funny, but the third time I was in a dream and I don't know what kind of act, was that sex act or with somebody, I don't remember. But I remember that there was some kind of acting, and then pop up like a child come out from through me, and the child like fall in on the floor, and I was looking, oh my God, there's a child. I was trying to pick it up, you know, with a little baby, and then I woke up. It was also so I wanted to see more, but I didn't.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all that. That totally, man, just story after story, confirmation after confirmation, it just shows you when you open up how much comes through, especially when you ask. Boy, you ask, yeah. You get it. So,
yeah, that's right.
Well, so we're going to keep moving on right now because we got we're kind of over our time, but I just want to thank everybody for sharing. It's been a wonderful day, a wonderful sharing today. And go to the Lucid Dreaming for Contact Facebook group page and share your dreams there. And we'll put all the things that we've been talking about up there as well as in the module on the website. So the link to the website's there as well. And we'll just continue this on the group sharing, and then we'll see you all next Sunday at 11:11. It's been wonderful, and I'll see you in your dreams, and thank you.
Thank you, too.
Thank you, too.
Thank you all.
Thank you all. Have a good week. Bye.